Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service today. It is wonderful that we can all be gathered together, receiving from the Lord's hand His many good gifts. A couple of announcements as we begin today. A reminder that church decorating is happening on Saturday, December 2nd. That is a week from yesterday. Is it really that late in December? It is. Okay. A week from yesterday, we are decorating the church at 10 a.m., Saturday, December 2nd. Anyone who can help, please come help. It will be a lot of fun. Youth group today from 3 to 4 p.m., decorating gingerbread houses. Voting will take place November 26th through December 24th. Ladies, on Sunday, December 3rd, Reflection of Mary is happening in the parish hall with Wendy Sue Flug, and we look forward to that. Basket in the entryway for a Thanksgiving basket to support seminarian Isaac Olson. The WMF is committing $125 monthly for him. And then 2024 Women's Bible Study. Talk to Lynn Hazelbring to pay for that by December 17th. Finally, I got an announcement today that, I was forgetting it as I was about to say it. Bob Boer says, thank you for your prayers. He is very, very grateful for them, and he is recovering, but as Virginia just told me, it is also kicking his butt just a little bit, so continue to pray for him. For anyone who's not aware, he had his knee replaced. Final announcement then. Anyone wishing to put in a bid for 2024 contractual services of secretary, custodian, or lawn mowing, snow removal, give your bid to the council member. Do we have a due date for those, council?
Before the annual meeting.
So if you have a bid for that, let them know. Are there any other announcement that I am unaware of? If not, then let us open this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, we come into your house today asking that you would be merciful to us, and that we would be glorifying in your holy word today. Bless this service today, and may your word go forth and impact our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm chapter 95. Let us read it responsively. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship in Zion. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness.
When your fathers put me to the test, and they put me to the proof, though they had seen my work.
For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. O come, let us sing together. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 187. Come, thou fount of every blessing. number 187. At this time, let us bow before the Lord and confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. O God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy upon us. O God, the Holy Ghost, true Comforter, have mercy upon us. From Isaiah chapter 1, Lord says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as wool. They shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is because of promises like this in the Word of God, from the mouth of God Himself, that I declare to you today that your sins are forgiven. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able out of respect for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, and 20 through 24. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel I shall be their grazed land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be the prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. The epistle this morning is 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28. But in fact, Christ had been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put to subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Here ends the reading.
And our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends the reading of God's word.
God be praised for his glad tidings.
Now let us confess with the church of all times and in all places our holy Christian faith. this morning using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn before the offering is number 566. The King of Love, My Shepherd, is number 566. At this time, I will invite our ushers forward to receive our morning offering. At this time, would you bow your heads with me as we pray to our God for his many, many mercies. Heavenly Father, we come before you today praising you for giving us yet another day that we have to praise your name, to come together, to worship you, and to hear your word proclaimed. Lord, we ask that you would be with each person gathered today, that you would be blessing them and letting your word work in their hearts, that they might be able to go forth restored by your grace. Lord, we thank you for this snowfall that we are getting today. Lord, we ask that you would be continuing to bring snow and rain and sun in your time and in your way. And we ask that ultimately those who are traveling in this inclement weather today would be safe and would be able to get to their locations in good order and time. Lord, we thank you for the successful surgery that Bob Boer had on his knee, and we would ask that you would be continuing to provide him your healing and your grace as he goes and continues his process of healing. Lord, we think of those also in our congregation, others who are hurting in some way, shape, and form. Lord, for our shut-ins, we pray for Juanita, Diane, Joanne, and Delbert. We ask that they would be encouraged by visits they receive, that they would be encouraged by your word, and that they would ultimately be able to rejoice in your name. For those who are in need of healing, we pray for Gordon, Zach, Linda, Tim, Norm, DJ, Grayson, Danielle, Robert, Sandra, Casey, Michael, Ty, Blake, Dwayne, and Leslie. Lord, we ask that you would be healing them in your time and in your way, and that in this time of suffering that they are going through, that you would be an encouragement to them, that they would be able to hear your word and be blessed by it. Lord, we thank you for the children of our congregation today, including Willa, Claire, Charlie, Eloise, Gwen, Rowan, Lane, Waylon, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. We ask that children, as they are a blessing to each and every one of us, that we would also be able to be a blessing to them, and that we would be able to continue proclaiming your word to them every opportunity we receive. Lord, for the men on the council, we pray for Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart, asking that you would be continuing to guide and lead these men into the betterment of your congregation, that we would be able to rejoice in your name. Lord, we pray for our nation and government, for the world leaders and all those who are in authority, for our military and their families. Lord, you are in control. You are wise and you are good. May we glorify in that goodness today. These and all other things on our hearts, we come before you today asking, praising you for your great word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. As you are able, I would invite you to stand as we sing together hymn number 154, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, number 154.
Thank you.
good morning again. Our sermon lesson today is from Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16 and 20 to 24, our Old Testament lesson. I will invite you to remain standing as you are able as I read now our Old Testament lesson for today. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountain of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words, and your word is truth. Sanctify us today in that truth. Convict us of sin in our lives where that is necessary. Comfort and encourage us with the promises of your gospel. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. We are on the last Sunday of the church year today. In the calendar for the Holy Christian Church, the year begins with Advent and it ends today. What does this mean? You will have noticed a trend over the last several weeks. That trend is that we have been talking a lot about the end times. We have been talking a lot about the finality of the world. And we have been speaking a lot about the coming judgment and the return of Christ. We do this because as the year closes out, the important thing for us to remember as winter definitely looks like it's starting to set in out there. And as oftentimes, spirits get a little more dampened. People get a little more stressed out. And hopelessness gets a little more prevalent. We end with the return of Christ as a beacon of hope, even for those who can't see it anywhere else. We end with the return of Christ so that even in the midst of darkness and cold, yet we have this truth that we look on as a beacon of light and a radiant warmth that can only come from Christ. And our passage today might be one of the best passages we could possibly end the year with. Because this passage tells us the reality of the work of God for you. Nowhere in our passage today will you see that you are doing an ounce of work. Nowhere in our passage today does God proclaim, Israel, here is what you are doing. No. Instead, it is God's promises. A promise for return. A promise for restoration. And as hard as I tried, I couldn't think of a third R. So the third is a promise of judgment. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. And I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered. What's more, I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them together into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the ravines and the inhabited places of the country. Ezekiel, if you remember from last time I preached on Ezekiel, preaches and writes to an Israel in exile. He preaches and writes to a nation that has been conquered and is awaiting the promises of God to return them home. Here is their promise. God's promise to Israel in this is that he would gather them from the nations whence they were scattered. That he would gather them together back into the land of Israel where they were taken from. This happens roughly 200 years later when the great Persian king Cyrus issues a decree that says the people of Israel and the people of Judah are to return to their homeland to rebuild the temple. For the people of Israel, their return happened for them back in the time of Cyrus. For the people of Israel, they were sent back to the nation where they had been taken from. They were sent back and they rebuilt the temple under the tutelage of Ezra and Nehemiah. They rebuilt the walls surrounding Jerusalem. But God did not return to that temple. No, in fact, at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, God promises that his presence would leave the temple and would never again dwell until his time has been fulfilled. So though Israel was in fact returned to their land, yet they were not able to worship God in that place any longer. Because of this, then, verses 20 through 24 come to fruition. They became fat sheep. In the words of our gospel passage, they became the goats. And as my Sunday school class today was joking, this isn't like the greatest of all time goats. No. Instead, they became distasteful and undesirable. They became complacent with the fact that they were safe in their own land, that God had blessed them, and that now they could just eat, drink, and be merry the rest of their days without a care in the world. This ultimately leads to Rome conquering them. And then after Rome, it was the Muslims, and then England, and then, yeah, they got conquered a lot. But what came from this was a sense of complacency and ease. Now, why do I tell you this? Because it is this complacency that they sat in, where they decided that never again would God judge them. Never again would God give them punishment for their sin. Only for God to punish them for their sin by destroying the very temple that they rebuilt back in after the days of Jesus. And I tell you this because this complacency that Israel had is a very real problem that you and I will have today in our life, in our world. You see, the return that God has promised looks ahead not just for the people of Israel back in the time of Ezekiel, but it looked ahead to the people of Israel back right around the time where BC switched over to AD with the birth of Christ. With the birth of Christ, God Himself re-entered the temple at His dedication. God Himself began teaching the people once more through the mouthpiece of His only begotten Son. In their complacency, in their unbelief, the people of Israel took the Son of God and put Him to death on a cross. And God used that tragedy to return you, dear wayward sinner, home to Himself. Because through the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross, you have been brought back into the fold of God. You wayward sheep who are equally as complacent, who are equally as sinful and unbelieving, God has called you as a good shepherd back to Himself. Has purchased you from the hand of the wolf and the lion by His own blood. And has brought you into His holy kingdom. Returning you to the God who loves you. Likewise then, as we continue on, we see that restoration which God has given for the people of Israel. In the days when Assyria and Babylon were besieging Israel, in the days when they were conquering that nation back before the time of Ezekiel, there was times of such severe famine that there was tragedies recorded of mothers eating their own children. There was such famine and inability to care for themselves that people were dying daily, not simply from the army right outside of their gates, but because they couldn't live anymore in the conditions they lived in. And God's promise to the people of Israel here is that not only would he return them to the land of Israel, but that they would once more grow food on the mountains, that they would once more have their flocks and their fields, that they would once more be able to provide for themselves. And not only does this show that God would once more bless the land that he promised to bless, but the promise was that he would give them the safety and security to do these things. That they would no longer have to fear Assyria or Babylon or Egypt coming and attacking them. But that rather he would be with them, protecting them, and that they would grow their crops once more. What's more, he says that I myself will be their shepherd, that I will bring them back, I will bind up the injured, I will strengthen the, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Dear Christian, the fat and the strong that Ezekiel was referring to here, yes, it would eventually refer to those very people he was promising it to. But at the time, the fat and the strong was Babylon, who had control over the people of Israel. It was Assyria. The fat and the strong were these nations that had taken them over. And by the time that God had allowed the people of Israel to go home, these nations were completely destroyed. These nations were wiped out. So that today you only hear of Babylon and Assyria in history books and movies. For the people of Israel, this was a promise of protection. It was a promise that their nation, their land, their home would be restored. But for Ezekiel's other audience, the one sitting in the pews in 2023 on the last Sunday of the church year, this promise is for your continued restoration. But this restoration isn't simply about growing food, having animals. No, instead this restoration paints itself as the forgiveness of your sin, as the entire forgiveness of all of your sin. And this restoration that God gives to you is daily given through His Word. This restoration that God gives to you is one that He promises time and time again for you. That though you sin, though you have fallen away from God over and over again, yet your sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Christ on the cross. That yet your victory is assured, that as He brings you back to Himself, He is bringing you back with a continued promise of forgiveness and grace. And that ultimately when the time comes that you sin and fall away again, He will forgive you yet again. And again until He returns. And finally, the third one, judgment. That is our third promise of today. God has promised the people of Israel that there would be a time of judgment. A time of judgment where God would gather together the sheep and the goats, as he says in Matthew chapter 25. A time of judgment where he would come and separate the people, that those who he calls his own flock, his own children, his own people, those he would place under his one shepherd, the new and greater David, Jesus Christ. But that those who are the goats, who are the rams, who are the fat sheep, who are the whatever else you want to find as a reference to them, those who are not a part of God's flock, to those, they will be judged, says Ezekiel. In Matthew, it says that they will be the ones who will go away into eternal punishment. They are the ones who are called you cursed. This judgment for them is one into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These are the ones who have rejected God. Their judgment is sure. And their fate is sealed. But only once Jesus returns or they die. Until that time comes, even the worst of them can become one of God's flock. Until that time comes, even those who have rejected everything God has ever stood for might return, repent, receive that forgiveness. They might be restored back to the coming King. And yet even those will receive judgment. Even you, believer, will receive judgment on the last day. Because judgment itself is not good nor bad. Judgment itself seems to carry a negative connotation. But the way that judgment is properly used is simply acknowledging someone's fate. So the believers, those who are faithful to God, those who have been redeemed by God, those for whom God has come to them and done everything for their salvation, they will be the ones who will be judged faithful. They will be the ones who will be set up under one shepherd, who shall feed them, who shall care for them, who shall tend them, that even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil, for God's rod and staff will comfort them. Can you tell I have a funeral on the brain? That even though they might suffer and die, yet God's promise to them is that they will live eternally with Him. And then he closes out with possibly the most encouraging phrase that you can hear. I am the Lord, and I have spoken. This final closing statement of God assures you and I today that what He says is trustworthy and true. That what He has done for us is a gift of grace and mercy. That what He will continue to do for us is something that we can rely on Him doing. That even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of cold and pain and suffering, yet we have that promise, that hope. And we know that we can trust, and we know that we can understand and believe, because He is the Lord. Yahweh, the Creator of all things, and He has spoken. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. And may His peace be with you. Amen. Our next hymn is "And Can It Be That I Should Gain," number 404. Would you please, you may be seated still, but would you please sing this hymn with me today? Would you please rise now as we pray together the prayer that our Lord has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Closing hymn this morning is number 157, Rejoice, the Lord is King, number 157. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.